Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the Demand Gen Summit track. I'm Erica Goldwater, and I'm pleased today to introduce Brian Fitzgerald, the CMO of Veracode, who's going to talk about doing some unmarketing for B2B engagement. So I don't know if we're going to be having any of the impromptu improv from the last session, but we'll see. So help me welcome Brian, please.
Thanks, everybody. So first, thank you for coming to this session. It's you've taken a bit of a chance by coming here. It'll be, I think, in some ways a different session than a lot of the other ones. I won't use a lot of the words I don't think that we've heard today in the last couple of days around account-based marketing and nurturing, and I'll talk about those concepts, but I actually have formed, I've been doing a marketing for a very, very long time. I'll show you my background in a minute. But I actually believe all this stuff is actually a precursor to, is part of a journey towards actually a different kind of marketing. I call it unmarketing because I actually believe a lot of the techniques and tools we use today are actually going to change, disappear, or get subsumed into a really different way to think about marketing. And so I just want to, it's a presentation, but in many ways it's an exploration. This is a journey we're on as a company at Veracode. I've got two of my folks here that are on that, willingly or unwillingly on that journey as we do this. I'll take questions, and sometimes during the conversation, I'll just say, does this make sense? What are you guys seeing? And I'd love to hear what you are seeing, because this, again, is a journey that we're on. And I don't know how the story ends exactly, but I do believe, I'm excited by it, and I do believe there's actually a really, really important journey to go through here. So who am I? As you heard in the introduction, Chief Marketing Officer for Veracode. Who's Veracode? We're about a $100 million SaaS company, information security. 2 seconds of what we do, not because you're going to buy from us, most of you, but just because some of the context will help later on, is what happens is we help people write secure software, which means that whether you're a tech company, whether you're a toy company, whether you're a General Electric, whether you're most of the companies you see in the exhibit hall over here, more and more your value comes from the software you deliver to people, either directly or indirectly. Websites are software, apps on phones are software, the little gadgets we all build for interactive tools, those are all software, and they all have vulnerabilities. What we do is people write software, they send it to our cloud, we scan it, we can tell them where the vulnerabilities are in the software, and we can help them fix it. That's a little important. That's important because as I talk about our marketing and the audiences we're trying to reach, that context will help you. Before that, I did marketing for, ran marketing for a $1 billion company in security called RSA, and actually just last week came from the RSA conference, which is a 40,000-person security conference in San Francisco. I've been in marketing my whole career, and I actually started and ran my own agency for about 8 years, a long time ago, back in the day, focused on everything except technology to try to get an idea of how other people did marketing. And I look at it, just so you know, I come at marketing from more of a messaging, writing, creative direction point of view than deeply analytics. I get the analytics, we do it. We have, I think, a really strong team and function around that, but I tend to think of the engagement with the audience, the story, how to pull them towards you, and that's kind of the mindset you'll see in here. So we talk about content more directly, but in marketing in general, you know, to me there's kind of an evolution that's happened over time. You go back, way back in the day, you know, we had fixed advertising, print advertising, TV. It was all about the tagline, the positioning line, right? Whether it's Campbell's soup is good food. Everybody had this. They spent all their time on this one line, which is going to be the hook or the Ogilvy form of advertising, the hook to everything they did. Today, I'd argue we're generally in this space where it isn't just about that tagline. It's about content, and it's about being able to offer value in new forms, right? So it's not just about having soup is good food in a print ad. It's, hey, come to our website for great soup recipes, right? And other things we'd build, and that's kind of content marketing, where we're trying to actually engage them by giving them things of value and things that are interesting and different beyond just a bare marketing line. But I think after this, this content is going to continue to evolve towards really pure collaboration, right? Where it isn't just about, hey, come to our website and get soup recipes. It's, hey, weigh in on the discussion with our food designers, right? How soup fits into a healthy diet. Right, breaking this barrier where I believe most of our marketing today is still very much one directional. We put out content, we hope people get interested, we track their access, we hope we can start to nurture them. If they trigger certain scores, we send, flip them over to a BDR or inside sales. But very much we're driving that process. And while there is interaction from them at some points in the process, there really isn't a ton, and in many cases the marketing, that engagement is still us talking to them, trying to find the thing that will get them interested. And then we're doing these very complex things of algorithms and machine learning and using all these sources to try to figure out what they really care about and which ones might buy and which ones don't buy. I'd argue we're going towards a world where those tools will have value, but more and more, if you want to know what people care about and if they're going to buy, you can just ask them, right? Wouldn't that be amazing? If you could just ask them, or if they'd tell you, they'd tell you when they're ready, because they've had a long and trusted relationship and set of interactions with you that had nothing to do with filling out forms, you know, lead scoring, nurturing, you know, pop-ups on the website when we think you're ready to actually talk to, click to chat, or those things. But continuing down this path where marketing as we traditionally do it almost disappears into the process of dialogue, right? The goal is still create revenue, but fundamentally done very, very differently. Just as a note, the timer isn't working, so when I'm like way over, somebody throw something at me or just give me a scream so I can stay on pace a little bit. Right? So I can rip through this, but this changing relationship, right? You see some of the characteristics that we're exploring here, right? Marketing has always been about polish, right? Present our brand in the best possible way. I'd argue that this idea of polish and presentation is giving way to authenticity, right? And many of us are on this journey. We try to create content that matters to our customers. I'd argue we will continue to go down that journey, and authenticity is going to be the core of creating trust. And trust will be the currency, a very different form of trust, will be the currency that we all use to create engagement, engagement leading to dialogue, dialogue leading to a chance to actually create an economic outcome. But from planned and managed to real-time, loosely structured, right? I've sat in on a lot of the sessions yesterday, and a lot of these tools are about very careful orchestration of messaging and follow-on and seven touches and five touches and the email touch and how this whole process will work for demand generation. And while that's a phenomenal process and a major step forward, as we start to continue down this path and get to a more interactive focus, that structure is going to fall apart a little bit. It's going to be real-time, loosely structured. Your marketing today will be a direct response to what your customer said yesterday. You can still orchestrate it, you can still organize it to a degree, and we'll talk about that, but a lot of the very structured, metrics-based, rigid, timed approaches we're using today, we're going to have to move away from those a little bit and get much more, a much more agile in terms of how we actually have that relationship with our customers, our prospects, and those other people we care about. De-risk, right? Marketing was all about brand management and making sure you know every message was perfect and nothing bad went out the door and no typos. I'd argue we'll move from that to vulnerability and openness, where you will make mistakes and you'll expose those mistakes. You'll talk about things you've done wrong, right? You'll put things out there that your competitors can use against you, but that vulnerability and openness is the currency that will build trust. That trust will be the currency that starts to get you engagement. Because let's face it, we have an arms race we have with our own customers and prospects, right? We develop a new form of nurturing, right? They figure it out eventually. They figure out how to decode that and avoid it. We get more clever. We find new taglines, right? How many times in the last 2 days have you heard about how do we not pass that line into creepy, right? Right? So as you start to get that, how do we move away from that where that trust and that openness is going to be really important? And rather than an arms race, can we actually strip that away and actually have a vulnerable, open discussion? Right, from one way to interactive, I've talked about that. And from this idea of we're perfect, like we're presenting this perfect face to the market, much more to an idea of lessons learned. We'll tell you what we do wrong as a company. We'll tell you what we're good at. We'll show you everything other people say about us that is bad. And we're going to use that currency to start to create dialogue. And that dialogue will be two-way, right? So a different set of metrics. And this requires trust internally and externally. I'll talk a little bit later about the tools you need, the culture change you need to do this. But it isn't just creating, it isn't buying yet the next tool from somebody here. These tools are phenomenal. It really is about changing your culture and mindset and letting your senior management trust that, yeah, we're going to put that stuff on the website. Yeah, we're going to send that email to our customer. Yeah, we're going to put this content out there, and there will be no form. And in fact, we might not even be measuring it the same way, and I might not even be able to tell you what they did with it once they got it. Right? That's a very, very uncomfortable conversation because in many ways we're just getting to the point with marketing where we can actually measure it and do these things, right? So it's going to be interesting when we start to talk to our management about, yeah, that was cool, but we're going to do some things that are going to be very much trust falls that we all go through together. All right, so the approach, right, it isn't just another form of marketing. It literally is turning your company inside out, and I'll talk about that, and I'll talk about how we're doing that. But it really is finding ways to expose fundamentally new forms of value that you don't even know you have, new kinds of spokespeople, new kinds of content. Content doesn't go away, but it changes fundamentally. And it's really turning your company inside out rather than the bar that we've been to actually be the magnifying glass for our organizations in a whole new way, right? So it's being turned inside out is an uncomfortable feeling, but I do believe this is going to be the leadership journey that marketing teams will take their organizations on. For organizations that want to be really relevant and be the centers of gravity for whatever their communities are in the business-to-business world going forward, right? And as a caveat, we do this in technology, but I believe this is equally true whether you sell machine parts, whether you sell cleaning supplies, whether you sell services to business, whether you sell any other form of technology. You have expertise, you have ecosystems of buyers, you have the same physics that we're seeing at Veracode. They may change 10 or 15%, but I do believe these same ideas will hold for any of your organizations. So I talked about this, but I want to bang on this point a little bit, because I think this is part of the culture and mindset change that we're going through that I think every organization will have to. Again, changing marketing from the idea that companies have huge amounts of value, content, ideas, information, experiences, knowledge bases. Everybody in your organization, every employee has some take on your company, your customers, how they do their job, how their job replies to customers, expertise they've learned. That might not even be a direct correlation to your products or your services, but as I'll talk about in a couple of minutes, may have more profound value to your customers than any single feature in your product. But what marketing tends to do is distill that down to a set of campaigns and messages and theme lines, and we take that and our past approach has been to take a small subset of that and drive that out to the marketplace and tune that and measure it and do A/B testing and all these things to try to find the best version of that. But we're putting one very, very narrow focused beam out into the marketplace and then just trying those till we find the ones that today at least get us enough responses to start to fuel the marketing funnel, fuel the demand gen effort, and fuel all the things we're talking about. I'd argue what you'll all start to become going forward is really the conductor of this, where what you want to do is expose all of that stuff to your customers, your prospects. This will be your demand generation process. And what marketing becomes is an orchestrator. So you're not creating specific marketing campaigns. You're really the conductor of the orchestra with 100 instruments, and you're making sure it all makes sense, but you don't play any one instrument, and you may not have written the score, and you're actually doing a little bit of improv along the way, but it changes what marketing is, changes how you'll instrument, changes the tools that you'll use, the skills that you'll actually have in order to be able to do this. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about our journey, and then I'm going to stop and start to get a gut check to see whether any of this is resonating or any of you are on the same journey. So we have two challenges in our marketplace. One is we're an evangelical company, is that before we can sell a service to somebody, we have to teach them why the service matters and teach them how to implement the service in their organization. There's a change management process we have to go through with the customer in their organization simply to let them use our products, because it's a new category. People aren't used to scanning software for vulnerabilities. So for our current customers, who are the information cybersecurity people in the customer's organization, we have to educate them how to build, execute, run the programs in order to be able to use our products. That's been our business, that evangelism. That photo you see of that bus is actually from last week in San Francisco, where we're starting to evangelize that message to those audiences. But we have a second audience we have to engage now, which are software developers. That's an audience that neither likes nor trusts our category or our brand. Right? For 10 years, what's happened is the security people, somebody wrote software, the software developer, threw it over the wall to the security people. They scanned it. They went back to the developer holding a Veracode report that said, your software is awful, your software sucks, you can't go to market, you have too many vulnerabilities, you guys are terrible. Right? So we were the big stick with the nail at the end that they were beat with for 10 years. And now those audiences are gaining relevance and power, and they're becoming a buy-in audience for us. So we're trying to figure out how to engage that audience, how to pull them through a demand gen process in a way that's very different, because they are already on that path that I would argue most buyers will be on, which is they are fundamentally allergic to classic marketing. They never return a phone call. They don't have phones, largely. They won't talk to salespeople. They're definitely afraid of largely anybody in a suit. The classic ways that we have learned to do demand generation, interest creation, those things do not apply to this audience, right? It's fundamentally different. But I would argue that be mindful of your own audiences, because people are smart, people are starting to figure these things out. Most audiences are becoming more and more like what I believe software developers are like. Right. So the challenge for us is very simple then. We have two very different audiences, the security people on the right, they care about risk control, consistency, preventing harm. Developer people on the left, they care about opportunity, empowerment, flexibility, enablement, and growth. Completely polar opposites of goals, belief systems, wardrobes, right? Everything you can imagine, completely different. And what we're looking to do is tie these things together. So what we're going to do is we realize is our current marketing, we've had 10 years to figure out how to talk to the people on the right. Talking to the people on the left is a fundamentally different exercise, and that's where we came up with the phrase we use internally, which is unmarketing. Which means everything we've done traditionally to talk to the classic buyer on the right would be death to us if we tried to do it on the people on the left. But at the same time, they're gaining power, they're gaining influence, they're becoming buyers. What do we do? So this is the process we're going through, is how do we relate to these people? And this is what we call the unmarketing program. Right? So start in the middle, right? We have our offering. We scan people's software. You send it to us, we scan it, we tell you where the vulnerabilities are, we help you fix that. Okay, that's our offering. Of course, we have what we call direct expertise around that. The direct expertise is how to actually write secure software, because we see all the flaws. We can teach you how to write better software, right? Right? So that's our direct value. But what we're finding is that when we try to relate to this new audience, there's two other forms of value that are actually more and more important and more better sources of engagement for us. The second is what we call other expertise. We're a software company. We have to write software. We have to write secure software, because if we can't, then how do we expect anybody else to do it? So our software developers have already gone on the journey to figure out how do you incorporate security into how you write software, how do you use these tools, and how do you continue to evolve the way you make software towards this concept called DevOps. That's the word you saw on the side of the bus. Just a combination of development and operations, but if any of your companies, if you're writing software in your organization, the people that do that are trying to get to this thing called DevOps. Our software developers have already done that. So we have a body of knowledge about how to transform how to do software development. It's not core to our product. If we made widgets for washers to go into washing machines and we still wrote software, we would have this knowledge anyway. Nothing to do with our product per se, but hugely valuable because every one of our customers is trying to go on that journey, right? So then the other fourth form of value now is shared expertise. It's a new journey everyone's on. How do we become the center of gravity where us, our customers, our prospects, other vendors, everybody can come together to talk about how to do this, right? And what we're finding and what we believe is those outer two rings were classically, right, this was a definition of value, the stuff we sell, right, the stuff we sell, and then how we teach you how to use it and implement it. The value we'll bring, which gets people interested, and this goes back to attraction, this goes back to a new form of demand creation, is those outer two rings, right? That's what I mean by turning a company inside out. It could be your finance people that have that expertise. It could be your engineers. It could be your legal team that has expertise that matters to your customers, right? It could be certain people buried deep in your organization, but finding that and turning that inside out is the heart of what I believe will the journey we're on, but I believe it's actually the heart of what everybody has to go on, because again, when you become the center of gravity to that world, when people are coming to you for information, engagement, knowledge, then you've got them. When they enter a buying cycle, you'll have them. And when you can instrument that process appropriately, and you do instrument it, you then have the ability to detect signals for demand, right, signals of interest, in a trusted environment far more openly than trying to use all the algorithms in the world to do that indirectly. You can start to do that directly. Does this make sense? Is anybody thinking the same way? Is anybody going down this journey of more of a much more, I know there was a session earlier on interactive content, but this starts to go even beyond that, to the idea of an interactive relationship. Yeah. Questions? Observations? You're on it? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I have a question. Love the idea that obviously it's trust, we're all after relationships, so vulnerability, great relationship. But if you go down the hall and talk to the CEO and the head of sales, they tend to be a different kind of personality. How are you finding that? How are you anticipating that? How does that play into your
So the question was, obviously, we can all say trust is the thing, but yeah, you go to a CEO, you go to a CFO, you go to a chief legal officer, and they're not really feeling the whole vulnerability thing quite the same way, right? So we were doing a couple things. One is we gave them the evidence. We're a software development company. We have 100 software developers. We did focus groups internally. We put our executives in the room with these people to say, these are who you're selling to now, and showed them directly that these people talk about how they learn, what they matter, what matters to them, what doesn't matter to them. And we didn't just talk about what publications they read or websites they visit. We talked about their culture, their ethos. Software developers have their own code of conduct, their ethos. They believe in what they do. So we started educating our own executives to basically say, you know, this isn't optional. If you want to own this audience, you will have to do these things and let that audience actually do it directly. And we brought our salespeople in who went on calls who came back with that same evidence, right? So we didn't try to do it to say this is the new form of marketing, right? Because as soon as you do that, you've lost half of the audience. We came back and said, hey, these are the people we're trying to reach, and let them tell the story about this is how you can talk to me, and with a few examples, unfortunately, of crashing and burning when we tried the different approach. So we had a receptive audience that wasn't as hard, but that is absolutely part of what you have to do, and I'll talk a little bit about that. So if this was content, highly polished, right, very, 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 very attractively polished, highly structured, buffed up, for us now, this is content on the right. It's the raw knowledge about how to solve these problems, how this works. It's people in our organization that a year ago we never would have exposed publicly to the marketplace that are now some of our best core spokespeople because they've done this stuff. They've been there, they've done that. We're putting them out there. We're not You know, we do our light edit on their content for clarity, but we let them do this the way they want to do it and bring that to market. Right? This is attraction, right? It's no longer the prettiness. It's about, you know, showing the messiness, showing what you really are, how you've done this, how you can do it better, what you're going to do differently next time, right? So changing that mindset, this flows into the content we're creating, right? We're exposing our engineers. We're actually writing a book on how to do secure DevOps, right? We have some of our engineers writing that book to take that out to the market. And at the same time, we're taking customers in and we're showing them how we did it and how we would have done it differently were we starting again. So how are we doing it? Right, customers and open communities, customer-to-customer dialogue. We want to step back. Once we get this going, we will step back and let them talk to each other. We'll be the center of gravity, the environment in which they do it, but it will not be push marketing from us the same way to them. We'll be part of the dialogue at an equal footing with them, with our competitors perhaps, if they want to be in that community, with anybody else who wants to share in this, because we know that being part of that journey with them builds the trust and also the openness where now we get to see where they are in that journey. We get to instrument that. It is on our property, right, our digital domain. We will instrument. We will be able to actually go back and now see buying signals, but in a very different way than this is the white paper they downloaded today. This is the point score we gave that piece of content. Right, exposing more and more of our own documentation, our intellectual property, our insights. I talked about the third one, recruiting our own engineers and developers. They're our spokespeople and contributors. It's not me. It's not product management. It's not sales. It's people that a year ago were deep in our organization actually figuring out how to write secure code and how to do that at scale. They are now our spokespeople out in the marketplace. We took them out of engineering and actually put them in sales. Didn't give them a number, but we gave them access to the sales force. Exposing our own journey, I've talked about that. Bringing them the heroes they love. Partnering with the people that are already figuring, that have literally written the books on some of these topics. Taking them to the market. And the last one is really important, is building bodies of knowledge and tools, not just documents. Our content is evolving. We're working with content for demand a lot on this. You'll see it, but it's interactive tools. It's exposing knowledge and expertise in new ways. It's tools, not documents. It's come to our website, and you can see in the software language you use to write code what the most likely risks are. It's not behind a form. You don't fill anything out. No salesman will call. But becoming the centerpiece for tools on how you do this, knowing that as we build that traffic, we will find other ways, right? The power of the tools today means you can do this and find the other faint signs that turn into behavior. Yep, 5 minutes? Yeah, they got it back again. Okay. Right? And we're walking that talk in marketing. I don't know if anybody here used Jira? Anybody use Jira? Okay, a couple of people. Jira is the platform that software developers use to manage the creation of code. We use Jira to manage the creation of marketing materials. So we're using the very same tool set that software developers use. So our people in marketing, right, everybody in marketing understands the world they live in, the language they use, talking about the same Kanban boards, the same things that software developers use, that audience uses. We've taken that into marketing, so we're transforming ourselves to align with that. Bring it to life. A couple things we're doing is we did that secure DevOps tour. You see the guy on the left there with the t-shirt on. He is actually one of our software developers 2 years ago, who's now one of our chief spokespeople, right, on this tour. And it's about not us speaking other than him. It's about customers, prospects, and others like that. Talked about the state of software security. These are the tools we're building, interactive tools. We've scanned 2 trillion lines of code. We make all that insight available online to anybody who wants it, right, reports that are much more interactive in that fashion. Right, much more community-based. Tests, we actually went to a developer conference this week. We spent 10 minutes teaching them how to write secure code, gave them a seven question survey. If they passed the survey, we gave them a gift card. We thought we'd do 50, we did 250 in 12 hours. But again, engaging with them to teach them without any other obligation on their part, teaching them how to do this, exposing our expertise to them with the trust that down the road as we do that, we'll be able to return that into marketing value. Right? Again, you see examples of these tool sets. Turning the world upside down, right? Today we mostly have this model, right? We all have a website, and somewhere off the website is probably a link to this community. The model we're going to is the community will be the website, right? That level of interaction, the questions, the answers, the dialogue, the content, that'll be the portal into this model. And yeah, off of that you'll still find places where you can get classic static content, where you can download the demo, you can do those things, but the heart of the interaction will not be the website with a community link, it'll be the community model with static content somewhere hung off of that. Organizationally, we talked about some of these things. It's a culture of education and service. Think of marketing as a customer service. If you didn't have to make money on your product, but your whole business was, hey, teach the marketplace how to do well with the kinds of products your company sells, what would you do for marketing? What tools would you build? What platforms would you build? Who would you work with, right? If you were a nonprofit meant to do that, use that model to think, how can we be a better service to the marketplace through marketing, rather than how can I nurture that lead one more step further? How can I extract a little more intelligence from that customer? We talked about internal collaboration, cross-functional skills. It's very different people. We're working much more closely with engineering, with legal, with finance, with other teams that have parts of this expertise model than we ever have before. You gotta have expertise. Look deep in your organization and understand where your knowledge is. And we talked about a little bit of this humility, right? People will say things about you you don't like. There'll be people that are smarter than you. It's okay. If you're in the conversation and driving it that way, if you get the conviction, because you will get bumps, you will do things, put things out there that don't work, people will say things that make you cringe. You've got to have the conviction to stick through that, right, to live with those when the CEO or CFO comes down, bang on your door saying, what the hell is this I just read on the website? Or what is this I heard somebody say at an event? Why aren't we actually, like, you know, we're putting all this content out there. Why aren't we actually getting leads for this, right? Skills. Investigative. Be an investigative reporter. This stuff lives somewhere in your organization, but probably not the places you're used to looking. Again, it's deep in your manufacturing team if you manufacture stuff. It's deep in your product design team if you're designing products. It may be deep in your services team. It may be in a partner. But really figure out where it is and then be that editorial guide. You've got to know your customers as well as they know themselves. You've got to think of yourself like that magazine editor. What matters? How do we help them do their job? Not how do we run the marketing funnel a little bit better? That internal and external engagement, right? You've got to cheerlead this, motivate this internally and externally, and it will take a long time to get this flywheel going, so you've got to keep that persistence through that whole model, right? Finally, what's next for us? We're in the middle of building those communities, those new forms of outreach I've talked about. We're rewiring the company around this model. Again, pulling this, turning the company inside out, where our engineers, our development people are now front and center. We're taking a step back. We still write great content. We're using that to create some of the classic pieces. We still do a nurturing process. But in this world, we're now actually starting to already flip the dial and take a different approach. And again, the content we create is not just pieces of content, we're building pieces of knowledge on how to do jobs better and exposing that out to the world. With that, I think I can skip these next two slides, but this is what our community programs look like, right? And finally, this one is we're rethinking the strategic platforms. Our website, we're a SaaS platform. We're rethinking how does our website, our platform, and our community platforms, how do all these things work together differently? How are we going to instrument these? How are we going to let people, customers and non-customers move between them? And then how are we going to, again, watch that instrument that to be able to actually watch the faint signals out of that that do trigger buying intention or buying interest that we are going to follow up on, but in a very, very different way than we have before. So closing thoughts, I've talked about a lot of this. Skills, talent are different. Measurement will be difficult. You've got to have a level of trust to do this. It's about intelligence, not leads. It's about seeing and instrumenting and getting intelligence about the market, not just being able to say this is an MQL, this is an SQL. And then think about it in terms of shared value creation with you, your customers, your constituents. And if you're in the middle of that shared value creation, it's a privileged position that is very hard to dislodge you from. You don't lose the battle of not having one feature your competitor does or be out of the market one day. It's a position you can defend and you can extract value from for a very long period of time. With that, I think I'm kind of at time. So I covered a lot. Questions? One in the back there. I worked with a head of engineering through the course of last year, and we got it built into their goals. And we made it important enough to the business and said, these are the people that are going to sell our customers, and we actually were able to. And a couple of them that wanted to do that, right? We had a couple that were ready for career changes. You talk to the head of development or those. They'll have a couple people that are maybe itching. They're good. They're a little more outgoing. And then you've got to get it built into their goals, or you might have to take a headcount. We took a sales headcount and said, okay, we're going to let them backfill that engineer. We're going to take that headcount. We're going to move that into the market-facing side of things. So there's got to be a commitment on your side, too, to say we'll help put our money where our mouth is to be able to make this happen for the organization. But we worked it literally through the heads of development, and we got them to champion the idea with sales management and as part of that process, not just us insisting we rip one out of there. Right? Once they got the idea, they were thrilled to have a chance to get their expertise and ideas out there. They were very proud of what they do. We just tapped into that. They loved it. Other thoughts, questions?
Actually, we're at time.
Okay.
And it's a networking break. So thank you so much, Brian.
Thank you.
Thanks for sharing marketing with us. And everyone, we're having a networking break. And you can come back here at 4:10 for the last panel session of the day.